The title of the series is a question. What is faith? What is faith? Would you please say that out loud? Say, what is faith? What is faith? And today's subtitle is Faith is an Adventure. I want to ask you to please say that out loud. Say, faith is an adventure. And so I want to invite you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll read the first three verses. It says this, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Would you please say it again? Say, faith is an adventure. Faith is an adventure. I have a question for you. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? What would be your superpower? What would you choose? Well, I think for me, I've always been fascinated by flying. I think I would enjoy flying if I could choose a superpower. I always liked Superman because he could fly and he was strong and could see, had X-ray vision. So I've always thought flying would be fascinating. And I've always wanted to go skydiving. And I just thought that would be amazing. Now, the irony of that is I'm actually scared of heights. I get a little nervous about heights. But I always had this sense I would love to fly. And so to me, skydiving would be the closest thing to that. But my wife would never release me. She said, there is no way you're going skydiving. In fact, one time I was preaching in the Ukraine, and I saw these billboards everywhere and to go skydiving. It was really, really reasonable. And I thought, man, I should go skydiving. And then I started thinking, maybe there's a reason why it's so cheap. And so I didn't do it. And plus, I didn't have my wife's blessing. Well, when I turned 50, she surprised me. And my birthday present, I got to go skydiving. So I got to go right here in Zephyr Hills. You may not know this, but it's one of the top places in the world. People come from all over to go skydiving. And the reason is because of the weather. It's such good weather here. So I thought about doing it on my own. You can take lessons and you can train. And then I'm really glad that I decided to do it in tandem with a professional, because I don't think you could have gotten me out that door. So you're strapped onto this guy. And once you're up in the air, you're committed. You're going out the door. But how many people, there's a lesson in that. You need a mentor. It's good. You know, that scripture said this is what the ancients were commended for. There are some people that have gone before us that we can learn from. That, and I thank the Lord for the examples in the scripture, but all men and women of God that we can receive from. So what's an adventure? I'll just define it very simply today. An adventure is an unusual and exciting experience. Don't you want to go on adventures? It's an unusual, a stirring, exciting experience. And so I want you to know that faith is an adventure. Look at verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. And most of you have this memorized, but I want to read it to you. It says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God without faith. And here's why. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him or diligently seek Him. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And notice that he says, because you got to believe that He actually exists. You can't see the Lord, but you believe in your heart. You believe, you know that He exists. And He's pleased with that. He is so pleased with you that you would worship Him, that you would pray, that you would talk to Him. You can't see Him and you don't always feel Him. Thank God for His manifest presence at times that you can feel Him and sense Him. But we believe that He exists. And it's this idea of faith. Faith is this sense of believing in something, believing that God wants to do something for you, even if you haven't seen it yet. And so I want to take you back to verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now notice that again. Now faith is. Would you please say that out loud? Say, now faith is. So this idea that now faith is. Faith is now. Faith now. Now, now. It's now. In other words, I've discovered this, that faith, there's something about faith that is now, but then there's something about faith that is to be obtained. In other words, you have a lot more faith than you realize. And we talked about this last time. You sat down with incredible confidence in your chair. Why did you sit down with so much confidence? Because your whole life you've been sitting in chairs. You know that that thing was designed to hold you. And so you have great faith to sit in chairs. There's this knowledge and experience of what a chair is. And it's the same thing with the Lord. There's a knowledge and experience of what the Lord wants to do in your life. But it says now faith is, I've discovered this as well, there's something about identity and there's something about potentiality. And so discovering and learning who we are as children of God, who we are as believers, and what God has given us. So now faith is identity and potentiality. You have incredible potential. You have an amazing identity in Christ. But you're learning and you're growing, because faith is knowledge and experience as well. So I want to say this at the outset, that when we talk about faith, you have more than you realize. Some people might be here today and you say, well, I don't know if I really have that much faith. You have a lot more than you realize. You showed it by sitting in that chair. And you have a lot more than you realize in Christ. You have a lot more because of your identity and the potentiality that's inside of you. But here's the exciting thing, is that faith can also grow. So we can develop in our faith. We can grow in our faith. And so I just want to give you some things today that reflect this idea that faith is an adventure. And the first one is this: dare to dream. Would you please say that? Dare to dream. I want to encourage you today to continue to dream. It takes faith to hope and dream. So we read that. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. It's certain of what we don't see. We can't see it, but we hope for it. So when you dream about something, you're hoping for something. And I know in this house today, we have a lot of dreams. Maybe you have dreams for a career. Maybe you have dreams for a family one day. Maybe it's a dream for your ministry. Maybe it's a practical dream of being able to own a house or being able to get a new car or something along those lines. But every one of us have dreams. And I just want to encourage you today to continue to dare to dream for the impossible. Can you please say amen to that? Because see, what happens is this, is as you start going through life, you encounter some disappointments. And when you've been disappointed or you've had your hopes up and they're dashed, then it's hard for you to get your hopes up the next time. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so it takes great courage to continue to look to the Lord through the disappointments, through the sometimes failures, through the stumblings of life. But I'm just here to say today, let's continue to dream, dare to dream. And it takes faith to do that. It takes faith to hope and to dream. Listen to Hebrews 11 and verse 19. And many of you have this memorized. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You know, hope's an anchor. When you dream, it's an anchor. Now, here's the exciting thing about dreaming is it doesn't cost you anything. It's free. You get a dream. But it makes you secure, and it's an anchor for your soul, for your emotions, for all the thoughts that go through your mind. If you would pause and you would continue to dare to dream, you'll see how that begins to pull you out of lethargy, how that begins to pull you out of disappointment, how that pulls you out of difficult things. And so I just want to encourage you today to continue to dream. It's hope that will make you secure. It'll make you firm. It's a hope for your soul. Now, in Hebrews 11, the context of that passage, if you read it, and we don't have time to develop it, but God's talking about Abraham's promise, that he had given Abraham a promise. And then he mirrors that to the fact that Jesus comes, and when Jesus died on the cross, that he ripped the veil in two so that we would have clear access to the Lord, and so that we would be able to have intimacy with the Lord. In other words, God's promise to Abraham, in that chapter, it says two things, that God cannot lie. So if God says something, it will happen. And that's strong. You got to hold on to that. And the second side of that coin is that it's tied to knowing him. So that's your firm, secure anchor that God has given you dreams. If they are from him, he cannot lie. That's powerful. So whatever he has spoken to you, that hope that's rising up on the inside, God cannot lie. He spoke it into being. Now, how does it come to pass? It's tied in to knowing him. And because you know him, you're firm and secure. Because how many people know your emotions can be all over the place? Even your thoughts can be all over the place. But when you hope in the Lord and you hope on the promises that he has given you, this is an anchor for your soul. It's an anchor for your emotions. It might be tossed around in different places. And the key is clear access into the secret place, into the place of intimacy with the Lord. That's where you get that security from. Say amen to that. And so if you think about it this way, that the Lord wants you to press in to know him so that you can find out what his promises are for your life. And then he begins to give you dreams. They rise up on the inside of you, but it's tied in to knowing him. Now, I found out this, that I have had to adjust my dreams. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with adjusting your dreams. Let me give you an example. I used to say when I was young that I had a dream to preach the gospel in every nation of the world. I don't know if that's going to come to pass, but as time went on, I thought, let me adjust that a little bit. And so I thought, well, I certainly want to minister in every country of the world, whether that's praying or whether that's sharing one-on-one or preaching. But then you just do the assignments that God has put in front of you. And so I could have been very fixated on that one thought, oh, I want to preach the gospel in every nation of the world, but I got assignments from the Lord. So for example, I've been to Kenya so many times, I've actually lost count. I think it's somewhere 30, 40 times. I'm not sure. I used to go a couple times a year, and I've just ministered so much there. Now, I was doing exactly what the Lord called me to do, but I had to adjust my dreams just a little bit. Does this make sense? So I have this heart to minister to the world. Now, if I end up preaching or ministering in every nation of the world, that's great. But I also know I'm okay if I don't. Does that make sense? And I don't think I'm out of faith by saying that, because the heart of that is that I have a heart for the nations, that I want to take the gospel to the far corners of the world. And so sometimes you do have to adjust some of your dreams as you walk through life and you see that, you know what, there are different assignments. But hear the word of the Lord today. I really want to encourage you to continue to dare to dream. Can you please say amen? Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming for your career. Keep dreaming for your kids. Keep dreaming for that new house. Keep dreaming for that job, that place that'll just burst you into a place of provision for your kids. Just keep dreaming for the breakthrough in your heart and in your mind for healing. Keep dreaming about those things. I remember, and some of you have heard me share this before, and I don't have time to get into the whole aspect of it. It's for a different time and a different message, but when I was a little kid, I got sent away to school in Africa, and it was traumatic. I started having nightmares, and I dealt with fear for many, many years until the Lord healed me and delivered me from that. And before the breakthrough came, I remember just saying in my heart and mind, I would dream and say, what would it be like to not have to fight that fear? And I continued to do everything God wanted me to do. I pushed through, but inside, man, I felt the fear. And I would say, what would it be like if I didn't have to deal with that? And then when I got the final healing and breakthrough, now I just have so much peace when I travel and ministry. There's never any fear. Glory to God. Doesn't mean I don't have to take captive thoughts at different times, but I got the complete breakthrough. And so you might be here today and say, man, what would it be like to be free from physical pain? What would it be like to be free from emotional pain? What would it be like to not fight that condition? What I'm here to do today is simply encourage you to keep dreaming, dare to dream, and begin to see that in your heart and mind, because that's where God is taking you. Amen? And so dare to dream. In this context, in Hebrews 11, and I think I got the wrong passage. I wrote that down. It's not Hebrews. There it is. Hebrews 6:19. I kept saying 11. In the context of Hebrews 6 and verse 18, it says this: we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. So you take refuge in the Lord. You take refuge in the secret place. You take refuge, and the Lord sets that hope inside of you, and He gives you strong encouragement in the secret place. Amen, church? I remember reading about a young man named Monty Roberts, and he kept dreaming in the face of opposition. This was a young guy who was in high school, and he goes to school. And the teacher gave them all an assignment to write a paper on setting goals. And so he went home and he thought about it and he just started to dream. And his dream was to have a ranch. He wanted to have thousands of acres and have cattle and horses. And he really had an affinity toward horses. And so this was his dream. He writes it all down and he takes it in. And the teacher, after a couple of days, handed the paper back to him and said to him, "This is so unrealistic. This isn't what I was talking about." He said, "Do this paper again." And so he went home and he was devastated by that, and he thought about it and was so discouraged that the teacher had done that. And so after a while he thought, "No, you know what? I'm not going to redo this paper." And can you imagine? He went back to the teacher. He hands the teacher the paper and said, "You can keep my failing grade. I'm going to keep my dream." So years later, his dream came to pass. It's a true story. Monty Roberts owns thousands of acres in Texas. His dream has come true. And you know, he has this huge house on his ranch, and over the mantelpiece of the fireplace, he framed the failing grade that his teacher gave him. And today, kids from that school come on tours to his ranch to look around and to ride horses. And the teacher? Well, even the teacher's been to the ranch. Let's put up these pictures of Monty Roberts. Here he is. This is his ranch in Texas. He's a very famous horse trainer right now. Go to the next slide. You'll see pictures of his ranch in Texas. And so here's a guy that didn't quit dreaming. Amen, church? And so I really want to encourage you today, and this would be my encouragement to you. Go home today and dream. It's free. It's not going to cost you a thing. So go home and dream and just imagine what it would be like if money wasn't a problem, if you could just do what was in your heart to do. Go home and dream. It's free. Say amen to that. So number one, dare to dream. Dare to dream. The second thing I want to share with you today is work hard. Work hard. Faith is an adventure. You got to dare to dream, but you got to work hard. In other words, it takes faith to move a mountain. It takes faith to move mountains. In Matthew 17 and verse 20, Jesus is telling his disciples, they're trying to drive out this evil spirit, and they couldn't do it. And so they came to Christ, and he says, "Well, you have so little faith." And you might be here today and say, "Man, I feel like I have such little faith." That's not a condemning statement, because we've already established that, you know what, you can grow and develop in your faith. And so you might feel like you have a little bit of faith, but through knowledge of God's word and actual experience, your faith level increases. And so it's not a condemning thing. He's just being matter of fact. You're of little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Watch this. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, when you look at the parallel passage in Mark chapter 4 and verses 30 to 32, I'm going to read it to you. He says this to his disciples. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the kingdom of the air can perch in its shade." Now, hermeneutically, number one, he's obviously talking about the kingdom, that the kingdom grows. But it's also very good biblical interpretation to say, you know what? Faith also grows, just like a seed. So faith can grow. If we understand this aspect of developing our faith, of growing in our faith, so in other words, the kingdom grows, but faith grows as well. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, you remember he's walking along with the two people on the road to Emmaus, and they had trouble believing. And then he begins to unfold the scripture to them. And I just want to lift out this one phrase that he says to them. He says, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe." Sometimes we're a little slow at really believing these things. But the great news is you can develop, just like a seed that will grow into a tree. Your faith, you can grow in the Lord in your personal walk with him, but you can also grow in the Lord in believing him for incredible things in your life, just like a little seed that you can move mountains. I wonder today if there's someone here that you have a mountain in front of you, a financial mountain, or maybe it's a physical mountain, maybe it's a physical ailment. You're facing a mountain. The great news is this, is that it's faith that moves mountains. It's faith that pushes those things out of the way. But sometimes it doesn't all happen at once. Sometimes it's little by little. I've had the miracles where God eliminated debt supernaturally. And then I've had the miracles that were little by little by budgeting and knocking it down 1 month at a time. It was still a miracle, and the month was taken care of, and the mountain was moved. Sometimes it happens all at once, but sometimes it takes hard work. And so if you're going to be a person of faith, you got to work hard in the Lord. There's a sense of developing it. I think sometimes we think that everything's just going to come really easily to us. But it takes a little bit of discipline. It takes a little bit of hard work. There was a man by the name of Dasharatha Manji, and he worked in India in the mines, up in the mountains, up in northern India. And he had to walk 35 miles every time he was going to work. And if I recall correctly, he would go there and spend the night for a few days and come back. So you can imagine, 35 miles to get to work. He had to go up this mountain and go around the mountain to where he would work. And so while he was there one time, his wife decided that she was going to go and take him some food. And so she made that trek 35 miles, and she fell down the mountain and died. And he was so heartbroken by that he thought, "I've got to change this." And so he started digging through the mountain. True story. He carved a path 120 yards long, 30 feet wide, through this mountain. You know how long it took him? 22 years. But he reduced the journey over this mountain from 35 miles to less than 10. I want to show you Dasharatha Manji, because here he is. I think he's passed away now. If you can pull up that. Here he is, and this is the mountain that he dug through with a shovel. So sometimes when you guys think that, you read that passage and you think, "Oh, how can God move mountains in our life?" We're trying to imagine this mountain moving and going into the sea, which I understand. I read the text as well. But the Lord could be saying, you know what, one shovel at a time, you're going to move this mountain. But as you believe me and you walk, you're going to move the mountains that are in front of you. Can you say amen, church? And so faith is this idea of working hard. So faith continues to grow. Keep working at it. Keep working at the stuff that you're believing God for. Number three, I want to say don't give up. Don't give up. In other words, it takes faith to keep going. Sometimes you're so weary, you're so tired, but it takes faith to keep going. Listen to Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You can't give up. You've got to continue to move on. Listen to Hebrews 6, verses 11 to 12. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make our hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Don't give up. Continue to believe the Lord for what he has put in your heart. And I've just found this out, that many times you're about to get to the breakthrough, but you might have given up. Don't give up. Just keep doing what God has told you to do, and at the right time, he's going to release the harvest to you. Can you say amen? I'm looking at Christian, but I remember, and he shared this testimony as well, but I remember when little Noah was born. And Noah was born with lesions all over his body. And so you can imagine. I remember I was on the way to the hospital to see you guys, and he calls me and says, they're rushing us to all children's hospital. And so they rushed him in the ambulance. And I remember going into to the ICU with you and your dad, and we're standing there. He had gauze all over his little body, and this is an incurable disease. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because I can never pronounce it, but it's an incurable disease. And so we just begin to pray. And one of the things that I so admired about the Diazes is they were just so at peace and just in faith and trusting the Lord. And those of you that were here, you remember, we just went to the Lord in prayer. And finally, the doctor calls in Christian and sends him home because they didn't know what else to say. Bottom line is Noah was healed of an incurable disease. In fact, let's show this picture of when Noah was a little baby. Here he is. And the next picture, so cute. But you guys couldn't even pick him up, couldn't even hold him. And look at Noah just a few months ago. Here he is today. There, look at this handsome young guy. And he actually still has some little scars on him, but he's completely healed of an incurable disease. Amen? And so amen. Give the Lord a praise for that. But here's the thing, is the Diazes didn't give up. And even though they heard all that bad news, they stayed in faith. I just want you to know that you'll receive a harvest at the proper time if you don't give up. Please don't give up today. Please don't give up on your dreams. Please don't give up on what the Lord has put in your heart. Please don't give up on God's word. If he's promised healing to you, stand in faith. If he's promised a financial breakthrough, stand in faith. It's not easy. I understand. I've been through so many ups and downs where I just wanted to quit and I just wanted to give up. But folks, you just got to have the courage and the strength to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and just trust the Lord for the breakthrough that's coming your way. Say amen to that. Amen. I prophesy that over you today, that the breakthrough will come if you don't give up and you just put one foot in front of the other. So faith grows. Keep working at this thing. Amen? So hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. The fourth principle I want to give you today is to get the right partners. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to develop in your journey, then get the right partner. Now, it takes faith to connect with other people, especially if you've been hurt, right? So every one of us have a story here. All of us have been hurt by other people. And you go through that where you have to ask the Lord to heal your heart and you have to be courageous enough to ask him to help you forgive other people. But if you really want to live in freedom, you've got to forgive. You got to release that. You got to ask the Lord for healing. But when you've gone through that, what's the natural thing? It's to push everybody away. Right? If you're here today and you've been through a divorce and a separation, you may not want to have any kind of relationship at all. You're just pushing people away, wanting to protect yourself. That's understandable. But it takes courage to say, you know what, Lord, would you heal me of that? There's many Christians. You've been hurt by other Christians and other churches. It takes courage to say, you know what, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord and not on broken people. Say amen to that, right? None of us are perfect, but by God's grace, that I'll keep my eyes on Him. And Lord, heal my heart of this. And so you might have gone through just a relational brokenness, traumatic experiences. I just want to speak life and faith in you to not give up, to say, you know what, I'm going to trust the Lord that He can heal my heart. And watch this, that He can give me partners that I can grow in faith. And part of the problem is we've had the wrong partners. Some of you had the wrong partner in relationships and in difficult times. You had the wrong partner, or you were hanging out with the wrong crowd. You were hanging out with people that weren't propelling you to the kingdom of God. They weren't giving you godly counsel. And so you had the wrong partners in life. If you want to grow in faith and really do what God has called you to do, you got to get the right partners. Listen to these scriptures. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. I wish I had time, but just take note of a couple of words here. That you got to have a partnership to deepen your understanding, effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share. Have you ever had a partner or a friend or a relationship that they didn't believe anything good about you? They weren't building you up. It was all about maybe jealousy or envy or strife. It was all about themselves. But how refreshing when you have a partner that believes in you. Says, man, I see the potential inside of you. I see that you can run this race. I see that you could overcome. In other words, I see the good things that we share in Christ. You can do this. Isn't that the kind of partner that you want? If you're going to live this adventure of faith, you got to have some partners that will celebrate with you. Listen to Philippians 1. That was Philemon 1:6. Listen to Philippians 1:3-6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work, say that, good work, a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Notice the phrase, good work, in both of them. Don't you want some partners that believe about the good works in you? That believe in the potential? That will encourage you? That will come alongside you and say, man, you're amazing. You can accomplish great things to see the good that's in you. You got to have the right partners, not the kind of people that pull you down, but the kind of people that will lift you up. Not the kind of people that will suck the life out of you, but the kind of people that will encourage you, build you up, and push you on toward your destiny. That's the right kind of partners. Amen? And so I think of Rick Hoyt, and I was always drawn to this father and son team because of their endurance athletic achievements. But Rick Hoyt was born with cerebral palsy, and he couldn't communicate, but then his father, Dick, noticed that he really liked sports when he would watch TV. He loved ball games, and so he decided to enter into a 5K, and so he put Rick in his wheelchair, and he began to push him and run the 5K race, and he noticed how his son just came alive, how happy he was. And through a series of using a computer and different therapy, he was able to begin to communicate a little bit. And so he said, and he communicated to his parents, that he never felt so alive as when he and his dad were competing. Now, I want to show you a couple of these pictures. Rick Hoyt has actually recently passed away, but if we could put these up. And he did the Ironman, the triathlon in Hawaii. So there's a 2.4-mile swim followed by a 106-mile bike and then a full marathon, 26.2 miles. And so his dad would pull him in the little boat, and then put him on his bike, and then run with him and push him. His father was an amazing endurance athlete. In fact, he was so good that most people thought he could compete at the elite level, and he wasn't interested at all. He said, "The only thing that makes me happy is when I'm doing it with my son." He didn't even want to compete in any other way. But Rick felt so alive when his dad was pushing him. And his dad felt so alive when he was doing this for his son. Now, hear the word of the Lord. All of us are broken in some way or another. I mean, if you're really honest, you're broken. You've got stuff in your life. Could be physical, could be emotional, could be mental. All of us have stuff in our life. We're a little bit broken, but you've got a Heavenly Father who makes up the difference. He makes up the difference. And if you are connected, just like Rick and his dad were, if you're connected to him, there is really even no separation. You're an extension of your dad. You're an extension of your Heavenly Father. You're an extension of your Abba, of your daddy. He makes up the difference in your life. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll get connected to him in partnership, you'll feel so alive. You'll feel so alive. You'll feel so fulfilled. And if you get the right partners in life, other people that will come alongside of you, and in your weakness, they become strong. And in your strengths, you fill in some of their weaknesses and vulnerabilities. That's the power of partnership. Amen, church? And so I just want to encourage you, you need other people in your life. Get the right partner. And that might be sobering to some of you. You may have to just take a deep look and say, you know what? Maybe I've been a little too connected with some people that aren't propelling me to the kingdom of God, that aren't propelling me in faith. Only you can answer that question. But I'm here to testify to you. When you get the right partners, it's exhilarating. It's thrilling. It's fulfilling. You can walk through valleys together. You can cry together. You can climb mountains together. If you get blessed, they rejoice with you. They're not insecure and jealous. They're rejoicing with you, and vice versa. That's the right partners. Say amen to that. And so get the right partners. And then very quickly, the last principle I just want to share is you got to act in faith. Faith is an adventure. All of us could tell story after story of just how God came through for us and how we took a step of faith. But you got to actually act in faith. It takes faith to go for it. You got to actually go for it. Don't be a person that just sits back and thinks about it or talks about it, but you actually go for it. And probably the best example I can think of is when Jesus was walking on the water and he comes to the disciples that are in the boat. And remember, they thought he was a ghost. They were terrified. And he comes, and here's what it says in Matthew 14 and verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And then I love this response from Peter. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And some of you have been asking that question. That's a legitimate question. Lord, is this you? We all pray that. Lord, is this you? But if it's you, and some of you have held back from stepping out of the boat. We've held back. We want to be a little more secure. It's a little more safe in the boat. But sometimes it comes to a place where you just got to get out of the boat and you actually got to go for it. "Come," he said. This is amazing. Then Peter got down out of the boat and he begins to walk on water. Incredible. I'm here to tell you today, you are going to walk on water. But it takes you getting out of that place of security a little bit. It takes that place of stepping out of the boat so that you can walk on water. You know, a few verses later, Matthew 14, 31, he says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I don't see that as a condemning thing at all. He's just like, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" So we might have little faith. Good news, it can grow, it can develop, because the more you get to know him, the more you walk with him, watch this, your confidence level increases because you know what? When I got out of the boat last time, I didn't sink. He helped me to walk on water. Or maybe you did get out of the water, get out of the boat, and you started to sink. And here's the great news. He saved you and rescued you. Amen? So the way I look at it is I can't lose. That was worth the gas money. So I'm going to say it again. The way I look at it is I can't lose. If I get out of the boat and I sink, it's all right. I'm going to learn something. He pulls me up and I learn how powerful he is to save me and to rescue me from that. And if I do walk on water, now I'm walking on, I can't lose. Hallelujah. You can't lose today. You cannot lose, because even if you sink, Jesus will catch you. Can you say amen to that? I'm going to just show this little video clip here. You can start playing this, but we were in Kenya. This is many, many years ago, and we just happened to catch this little thing on video. We had done an open-air meeting outside, and afterwards, I saw this guy standing over there on crutches, and so I went over to him, and I introduced myself. I said, hey, what do you think of the message? And so he said it was great, and I said, well, do you want to receive Jesus as your Savior? And he said, yeah. And I'll never forget his name, David Kinyua, good Kikuyu name. And so he prayed to receive the Lord, and then I said, well, what happened to you? And he says, well, I was working in a rock quarry, and that was his job, and there was a conveyor belt where they would put all of the rocks on, and that conveyor belt broke, and a rock flew off of the conveyor belt and crushed his leg. And so it crippled him. And I said, are you in pain? He said, yeah, all the time. And I said, well, you know, you just prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior. Why don't we ask him to heal your leg? How would that be? Would that be okay? And so he said, yeah. So I started to pray for him. He felt the fire of the Lord go through him, just felt electricity go through his body. And I said, well, do you want to try walking? Without that, he said, yeah, I would. And so I just took his hand, and I'm walking, and he's walking with a limp, and we just kept walking. And then as he kept walking, soon that leg shot into place. He quit limping, and this guy was completely healed, just completely healed. Now, I think you saw there at the end, he came with his sister, and so I called his sister over. So I gave his sister the crutches. And this is what I don't have on video, I wish I would have had, is I remember at the end of the meeting, the sun setting, and I look, and there goes David, and he's walking down the dirt path, and the sun setting, he's got his crutches over his shoulder as he's walking home. But what did he do? He acted in faith. You know, sometimes you got to take a step of faith, whether it's for your healing, to try something you haven't done before. To believe the Lord for something, to not be as reliant on the things in the natural. And some of you might be here today and say, well, I've tried that. I understand. But I'm just saying, please don't give up. Just act in faith. Take that step of faith in your finances. Have you tried tithing? Have you tried giving and sowing seed and stretching yourself in finances? You got to take a step of faith and actually act in faith. And I'm here to tell you today, you can't lose, because you either start walking on water, and if you mess up, so what? Thank you for that thunderous amen. Now listen carefully. I'm serious about this. If it's not that, really, sometimes we really get so intense. Well, man, and I'm not minimizing. There's big decisions. You have families you got to take care of, all of those things. You know, you have medication, those kinds of things. I'm not minimizing any of that. But listen, my brother and sister, if you step out of the boat and you start sinking and you feel like you're failing, I know this, and I'm confident Jesus is going to take you by the hand and pull you right up. And so you really can't lose. You're either going to start walking on water, or you'll learn something through that experience, and next time you're going to walk on water. Amen, church? Amen. Someone say this. Say, faith is an adventure. Faith is an adventure. And so step out of the boat. I'm out of time, but step out of the boat. Even if you sink, Jesus is going to catch you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet.